This is News Team correspondent Andrew Vasco, joined in the studio today with musician Claude Coleman Jr., who is currently working on creating a music rehearsal space here in Asheville called Soundspace. Thanks for joining the program.
Thanks for having me.
Could you tell our listeners a little bit more about what your plans are for Soundspace?
Well, Soundspace is intending to be a music practice facility in Asheville. There presently isn't a place for musicians and bands to go and rent spaces by the hour or longer, half a day at a time, to be able to practice and work on their craft. And so we're looking to create a facility which will have several rooms, some of them which will be rentable by the hour, the other which will be available to be rented by the month. You can just lock them out and have them month-long durations.
And how many musicians will you be able to accommodate?
Well, we're starting out modest with the space that we found, Rabbit's Motel, which we'll be able to get four studio rooms out of that. And then when we do our phase two of that property, we'll be able to add an additional two rooms to that. So we'll be able to get six rooms out of that property. But we're considering this actually as amazing and important as a property itself is, and with the history aligned with it and with the demand for the space. It's kind of our pop-up because of the demand is so strong, we're not going to be able to accommodate nearly enough people. So we're trying to get this off the ground just so that people can start being active and use it right away. And then we have plans later on to try to acquire a storage facility off of Lesser Highway, where bands were previously in storage spaces, and we're going to set that and use that and develop that as sort of our larger main facility, and that'll have 20 to 30 rooms, hopefully, in varying sizes. There'll be tiny rooms just for a solo performer, a solo instrumentalist to go in and practice. We'll have some drum rooms for drummers who need a place to just go play and practice for a couple of hours. And then we'll have larger rooms there, a recording studio. We'd like to do a performance space in there eventually. But what we're starting out with now is about 4 to 6 rooms. And we're just going to stretch those as much as we can and accommodate as many people as we can.
So, Claude, you are a musician as well as creating this concept.
Yes.
How is your experience as a musician and going to these practice spaces before going to drive your decision-making with the space?
Well, yeah, I've been using rehearsal spaces my whole life. I've been playing music for 33 or 34 years professionally, and I've been using them everywhere. And every city in America, there's 3 to 4 of them. Any city that has like a college or like a scene or a single venue, there's cities in America that don't have any clubs, any bars, but there's just a lot of bands. And even those cities have these warehouses in certain areas where there's just like a bunch of bands in there, you know, making punk rock music and doing whatever, and there's a lot of creativity going on. So they're in every place in America except Asheville. And when I moved here initially, it was the first hurdle that I kind of ran up against. It was, I needed to perform, I needed to practice, I have a group of my own, I'm a very busy, active, working musician. And it was the first hurdle, and I don't think folks realize what an impedance it is to not have a place to rehearse. Sort of an outside issue of being able to find a space. But in Asheville, whether it was affordable or not, there was no choices. I'm familiar with and I play with, I can see how it affects their lives and how it's like a big impedance. And I also know that in every town in America that has these types of studios, there's these great scenes and all these great bands came from these great scenes. And those rehearsal studios, whether anyone realizes it or not, or, you know, I think a lot of people kind of took it for granted because it's sort of part of the whole functionality of like a music scene and a community of music. It just goes hand in hand, and it's sort of like a given almost. It plays a really integral role and the development of the music and you know, what's created and the bands that come out from the area where those... I mean, to have a space to go play loud is a big deal for a lot of folks. I mean, to just go, you know, form a band with your friends and then crank up and you create art forms overall. So excited about that overall with what we're doing is... the effect that it'll have on the kind of scene around town and the more rock bands it'll generate. And I think it's going to create more of those types of bands and more of that kind of music.
That if a musician gets a late night itch or has a day job, they'll be able to go in and play?
Of course, yeah. We're starting out 3 a.m., and then eventually we're going to go 24/7. And the monthly rentals that we have are 24/7. Obviously, you have 24/7 access to that, but with the hourly rooms, we're going to start out with a 3-to-3 hourly schedule. But yeah, we want exactly that. It's, you know, going to a show and seeing someone I know in the band, they're coming through town, they're playing, and just kind of grabbing them and go, let's go play, let's go jam, let's go record, you know. And just going to the studio and going to the rehearsal space and just playing all night. And this was creating music and then seeing my friends off on the bus on the way, you know, down the road. But I think that would be a really, really lovely thing to have that access at any time to just go play, you know. And I think, I know for a fact that people are going to utilize it. People are going to go crazy. It's going to be a really great thing.
And I read that not only is this a space for musicians, but you're also looking to accommodate dancers and movers as well. Could you elaborate a little bit more on that?
Sure. Yeah. Well, we're starting out with the rehearsal music spaces. And then the second phase of what we're trying to do is another building on the property. That's the front building. The first floor is where we're going to put the Soul Food Cafe in. And we'll put a lounge in there. And then the upstairs is where we're going to put a dance and movement room, because apparently dancers, who there are a lot of hobbyist dancers, but there are a lot of dancers, semi-professionally, professionally, and otherwise, in town, and they have like the same exact issues as the bands do. There's no spaces for them to kind of have their groups and do practices and just run rehearsals for whatever they're doing. My partner's wife is in one, and she's committed to it, and she shares with us all of their frustrations, and they deal with the same sort of issues. So while we're not a dance and movement focused sort of industry with what we do, we understand those concerns, and it's sort of the same sort of genre of, and sort of area of creativity and expression. And so we want to help those folks out as well. And we just see an opportunity to do that. So we're going to make one of our spaces, at least one of them, available for a dance group or yoga classes or whatever, anyone that just needs to rent it by the hour to do those types of activities.
Speaking of the Soul Food Cafe, I know this might be a hot button for a lot of musicians. Will this be a late night Soul Food Cafe by chance?
I don't know. That's a good question. We're going to be leasing the space out. And so the kitchen and the cafe are going to be entirely run by the chef there. And the candidate that we have right now is this man, Clarence Robinson. He's sort of a local celebrity chef around town. I don't know if you've heard of him. He's a comedian of sorts. He's been on the Food Network a bunch of times. He's a really wonderful man. And incidentally, he's related to the family that owns this property. And we were introduced to Clarence just a month ago, like 3.5 years into this project, just by happenstance, just by coincidence. And that's kind of been the way this project has been going. We've just been getting connected to just exactly the right people with exactly the right hearts and minds who want, you know, and support for what we want to do. So we found him and we brought him in. And so it's going to be his kitchen. So that's sort of a question for him that I'll definitely pass on to him. I would like that. I mean, that would be an amazing thing to have and a great late night option. And I'm familiar with other cities that have late night soul food joints open late, and they're crushing it. I mean, they do very well and they're very popular. You know, it beats, a bad slice of pizza or a 7-Eleven burrito. I'll definitely pass that on, that question. Yeah.
So you currently have an Indiegogo campaign to raise funds for this whole project.
That's correct, yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about that and the plans for after that campaign?
We're trying to raise money for the capital that we need to borrow our funding, to borrow the sum of money that we need to do this project, which is large. It's not unattainable. It's not scary. It's actually very modest in terms of, you know, other sort of business opportunities and ventures. But we need money to have the capital to go in and borrow money to make this work and to realize this all. And so we're just trying to raise that money, and we're about halfway there. We're exactly halfway through the fundraiser, and we're exactly halfway raised with our funds. It's amazing. It's really amazing. And it's really great doing all this outreach and meeting people and getting connected to more and more people every other day. And we have just so much great community support in our sale, you know. It's just been a really great experience like that. But that's where we are with the fundraiser. We're still pushing. We've got another 2 weeks to go, and I'm going to keep promoting and talking about what we're doing and going around the street and elbowing my friend in Ingles' salty snacks aisle and tell them what we're about, and more often than not, anytime we just mention what we're doing and trying to do for everyone, everyone is just fully interested and fully supportive, and it's really great. So I'm just going to keep that going. But we got another few more weeks left.
And with that, there are some really cool perks, including the big one, which was already taken, which was your drum set that you used from 1999 to 2013 with Ween.
Yeah, that was a big perk.
That was a huge perk, and I'm not surprised that it instantly got grabbed pretty quickly. What are some other perks you have to offer for people who are interested?
Sure. Well, for people who contribute and donate, we've got some free lesson time. We have a lot of merchandise items. We'll reserve places around this facility on the walls and on the doors. We have invites to our parties and our events, our VIP access to that. We had another 10K perk, and that just went as well. And that was a lifetime of free Ween for you and a guest. For as long as I am the drummer in the band Ween, you will be on my guest list plus one the rest of your life, and someone just took that very late last night. That's sort of a brand new development. So we're going to try to come up with another big ticket, top tier perk. We'll have to be creative, but those are some of the perks we're giving away, and we're kind of creating them on the spot as we go as well. So we might drop another one that I don't even know about right now in the next couple of days. But those are some of the ideas that we're offering for people to donate.
It sounds like your hopes is that it becomes a big social hub and community aspect for musicians here in Nashville.
Absolutely. I think that kind of happens on a natural, organic process when musicians are congregating in spaces, even with rehearsal spaces, even with the in-and-out activity and everyone is sort of, going from here to there in different places. It still sort of ends up becoming this congregation in a way, even if it's a moving, constantly transforming congregation of people. People sort of gel with their hearts and minds and what they're doing, and everyone becomes familiar. And I think that kind of organically creates a hub on its own. I think with the kitchen there, for sure, it's going to be a nice sort of place to congregate and hang out for the community, and the community will be able to mingle with other folks, and musicians will be able to mingle with folks from the community that have nothing to do with music. And so it'll be a melting pot across sort of different classes of folks around town, But with the hub of, music, the musicians and everything, that's an amazing thing that happens on its own. It usually just kind of occurs on its own. People just sort of gel together. There used to be a really great space in Athens, Georgia, and they offered a lot of musician services, like health services and employment services. They offered drug treatment, kind of like a program, like placements and stuff like that. And that's something that we really, really want to focus on, too. So when we sort of start implementing those sort of things, I think that's going to really help kind of create a hub, too, because that's going to be a place where it's like, what can I do? Where can I find a cheap place to live? I'm a musician. I'm a busker. What can I do? Go to Soundspace. They have great answers. They have great advice, and it's a great resource, and that's kind of what we want to be. I mean, that's what the practice space will be inherently anyway for us as players, but we want it to be more well-rounded and cover other areas of our lives that nobody knows about and knows how to deal with, even ourselves. So we just sort of have to help each other out and become our own resources. We have to create that all for ourselves, and that's kind of what we're doing.
Is there a target opening date at this point, or is it still up in the air?
Yeah, we're wishful that we can settle everything and have doors open by about July or so, like early summer. It's a bit ambitious, but I think we're on track, and this fundraiser has almost surprised us with the success of it so far, so we might be pleasantly surprised. And it might be sooner than July, which would be great. That would be a happy accident. But to be conservative about it, it's probably going to be at least July, if not a little bit later. Regardless of when it's going to be for myself and Brad and my friends and the folks that are supporting us, it's just going to be, it's going to open no matter what, whether it's July or August or September. I mean, it's going to be open. It's going to serve everyone, and it's going to be a great thing.
Well, thank you so much. For our listeners, if they would like more information, where can they go?
They can go to soundspaceavl.com. There's a page there. It's basically a splash page, but it has a link directly to our Indiegogo fundraiser. And at the fundraiser page, there's a good deal of information. There's a good video with what we're doing and a bit of the story and the people involved. There's a picture of Clarence on the page there. You can have a gander there and you can read about his history. It's very inspirational, actually. You know, he kind of brought himself up from some hard times and really made a really amazing life for himself. And him being a nephew of the family, it's just this really, really beautiful complimentary bonus to what we're doing. So they can go there, you know, to read about what we're doing. Yeah.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Claude, for coming in and talking.
Thank you very much for having me. It's good to be here.